What is up, podcast community? My name is Michael Chernow, and this is the Creatures of Habit podcast. Habits are everything, and on this show, I will be interviewing some of the most inspiring, motivated, and high-performing humans on the planet to learn about the daily habits, routines, and rituals that help keep them focused, determined, on top of their game, and ultimately, happy. My journey from the depths of addiction and misery to success as a family man and serial entrepreneur was only made possible by replacing bad habits with great ones, and my mission in life today is to share that story and the story of others with you to bring value and life-changing tools to as many people as possible. So sit back, relax, and pay attention, because what you hear in this podcast today can potentially change your life. Let's go.
What up? Welcome back to the Creatures of Habit podcast. Today, I've got a guy on the show who I have been following on in all different platforms for a long time. We've also worked together a few times over the years. I happen to be working with Men's Health again on a fun project. Ebenezer Samuel is my guest on the show today. He is the fitness director at Men's Health Mag. He is also a veteran fitness coach. He's trained professional athletes and everybody else. He did a lot of writing for the New York Daily News before he joined Men's Health. He's an all-around badass. The guy is incredibly knowledgeable in the world of fitness and nutrition. I'm really, really excited to talk to him about all things habits, all things fitness, nutrition, and really get to know him a little bit better and for you guys to get to know him a little bit better. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to be here. I feel like this has been a long time coming since we got together and just a nice conversation that wasn't in the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember in the beginning of the pandemic, you were doing lots of Instagram lives.
Yeah.
Early day pandemics in your garage gym, and you were with Don Saladino, right, when you were doing those?
Yeah, we were doing them because remember at the time, you had to be miles away from each other. So we were doing it. I would do it in my driveway in my garage. He would do it. I think he had constructed kind of a temporary gym in his living room. He would do it from his living room. And yeah, we would both get, I mean, it was nice because we had great equipment. And so we could both get workouts out there and hopefully motivate people. It was hard during the pandemic.
Dude, I remember it. I used to love, I think it was like Saturday or Sunday mornings. And every time I'd see you guys on live, I'd be like, request. I'd hop in there. Yeah. So much fun. And that was also, you know, it was so interesting at that time, March of 2020, I had a show coming up. I had a competition coming up and I, you know, my coach and I were like, you know, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? We were always looking at the site to see like when if the shows were canceling, if they were not. But because my show kept on, I think I had a show. The first one was in June.
Yeah.
It got canceled. And so nobody knew where this thing was going. So I had made a decision. I said, look, you know, I am going to find a show. I'm going to find a show. But what that did was it just extended my prep, right? So yeah. I was in a contest prep for legit a year. Like I stayed within, you know, within arm's length of competing. And I ended up competing in September and I got my pro card. And that was awesome.
Congrats.
But thanks, yeah, man. I'm really excited to have you here. You know, the life that you live is a life that a lot of people aspire. Not only because of your, you know, what you do for work, but you have really an unbelievable knowledge of what it means to be well as a man today, right? Like there, I think one of the, especially as we sort of like creep into the new year, so many people struggle with committing to a life of better. And, you know, I know that it's not easy, right? But once you get there, from my experience, once you've made it your lifestyle, the other side of the coin is the challenge.
Yeah.
Not being regimented with your fitness and your nutrition and all those things. So why don't you just give us a little background on you and then we'll get into your habits.
Yeah, no, great. I think, so my back, and first of all, I think exactly what you're saying, it's I have a handle on men, and I think men are evolving, right? Like what it means, and wellness is evolving. I think at one point it was all about, you know, how we look and how big our biceps were and abs, right? And those things are always going to be there. But I think what's changed and what's really cool is that it's gone from how, you know, are you in shape to this other understanding of mental health and what you're putting into your body, and all those things kind of feed the same beast, right? Mm. And so I think that's where we've kind of, we're evolving as guys, we're evolving as people who want to be well and want to be fit. I think even the switch from, it's not about just being fit, it's about wellness, right? And that well-rounded 360 view is, I think, what we're all striving for, you know? But yeah, a little bit about me. So I love fitness above everything else. Grew up on a steady diet of superheroes, on Arnold, on, you know, wanting to have like a perfect, you know, six pack body. Got into the gym when I was very young, in part because I couldn't do pushups. So I was like, well, maybe I can bench press 5 and 10 pound dumbbells and that'll somehow get me to pushups. Started doing that when I was in high school, made a lot of mistakes, learned as I went, had, you know, my fair share of injuries, and was always doing that in the background. I wound up going to the New York Daily News to cover sports, in part because I didn't think I could have kind of a career in fitness at the time. I knew I could write. I knew I wasn't very strong. But I was like, if I can cover pro athletes and work with pro athletes, those are the strongest, fastest, most athletic guys on the planet. Maybe I'll learn a thing or two. So when I wound up covering sports, you know, all the other guys are asking about what do you do in the game? You know, how did, you know, what was that touchdown like? You know, the questions that they should be, what's your contract, right? I was like, what's your workout? You know, what do you do for your abs yesterday? I saw you doing this in the locker room. So I wound up learning a lot like that. About 5.5 years ago, I got the opportunity to transition and bring kind of all that knowledge and all the time I got to spend training with pro athletes at the time, all the time I got to spend around their trainers, I got to transition to men's health, which has been a dream because, you know, I run the fitness there. I do our fitness video. A lot of our workout stuff, pretty much all our workout content goes through me. And again, even there, we're trying to craft that different kind of guy, because I think the one misconception I had when I was younger was, and based on comic books, was if you have a six pack and biceps and a chest, you must be in great shape and you must be the most phenomenal athlete in the world. And the thing I've gradually learned is that, you know, there's this whole idea of, you know, functional training, of functional fitness. And there's so much more to it than the six pack. And I think that's kind of where I've tried to lead men's health over the last couple of years in terms of changing what it means to be fit and kind of change and helping people understand it encompasses so much more than just the amount you can bench press, even though that is incredibly important to me too.
You know, I think it's such a good point that you bring up, right? Like right before we started recording, we were talking about, you know, you'd said, oh, you look a little bigger. And I've transitioned from strict bodybuilding competing to now way more functional athletic training, which is what I did before bodybuilding, right? And I do feel, even though I've got aches and pains more than I did from bodybuilding, I feel younger, I feel fresher, and I'm not so concerned about what my, you know, rear delt looks like, right? Like what my, how wide my lat spread is right now. It's not, you know, and so it brings up a point for me that I think is interesting to talk about, that I think people need to hear, that are specifically people that are into fitness, right? There's two different kinds of training, and they're both awesome. But one is definitely a little bit more of a mind fuck than the other. There's training for aesthetics and there's training for performance, right? And those are two distinctly different styles of training, both for what kind of nutrition you apply to it and also the amount of training that you do, right? Obviously at a pro level, it's a little bit different than just like a, you know, someone who's just a fitness enthusiast. But for me, I spent years training for aesthetic and it's really, really hard. It's like hard mentally, even though I felt so good and training just in general makes me feel so good. I do think that people need to understand that like the people that you see flexing their eight pack and like do like those people are not training for performance, because you cannot walk around like that looking to be able to perform, right? Like when a running back takes off his shirt, chances are that dude is walking with like 15% body fat, because that person needs that kind of energy to perform. And so how have you seen in your, in, I mean, you see it firsthand every day, I'm sure. Like, do you see a transition from men specifically, like looking for still like gunning hard for that like six pack chiseled everything? Or do you think that there's like this place now where there's like, hey, like you don't need to have a chiseled da 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 da. You should be able to run, you know, a mile in 6 minutes. You know,
I think it's hard. And it's funny because I was discussing this. I feel like this is a discussion I wind up in all the time, because at Men's Health, obviously, again, we're trying to move people in this more proper direction of, you know, you don't necessarily need abs and there's so much more to it. I think what you have is the fitness industry has started to understand that. And we're talking about it more. We're having this discussion, right? But at the same time, at a very, very base level, the guy who reads Men's Health, the guy who's going to watch this podcast, and just guys in general, to some extent, we're always going to want a measure of aesthetics to it. And so I think the key is, and this is getting maybe a little into the industry conversation, the key is for us to kind of keep explaining that, but then also explain that on some level, If you're handling all the other business, and as you start to kind of create that 360 approach where you're understanding your nutrition, you're getting your sleep, you're feeling good, and then you're kind of incorporating some of that functional training into and thinking about it less as, you know, I need to build my biceps, you're going to wind up on some level, you're going to wind up getting the body that you very likely want. I think one of the misconceptions out there is that aesthetics are hard, right? And I think they're one of the reasons they're hard for like guys like you. Like, I feel like on some level, yes, you know, you're training more functionally now. I claim to train more functionally than I did in years past. But at the same time, at the end of every night, you know, I take off my shirt and I'm like, okay, you know, my abs are where they need to be, right? And I think so on some level, aesthetics are kind of always in play. The performance aspect of things makes things, I think the reason aesthetics are such a mindfuck, as you said, is because they're not measurable, right? Like you kind of look at yourself and you're like, I like what I see. Maybe I don't. And there's no, unless you do a competition, there's no sort of, even competitions, there's a subjectivity to it, right? There's no kind of, okay, this is the perfect version of me, or this is, you know, I've gotten better, I've gotten worse. Sometimes you look at yourself and you can get really lost, right? When you're training more for performance, you have those measurables. My mile time dropped.
Yeah.
I'm bench pressing more. I can do more pull-ups, right? So it becomes more measurable, and that makes it, even if you don't feel good on a day, or you look in the mirror and you're like, my pull-ups suck today, you did 15 pull-ups 3 days ago, you did 13. So you've improved. So I think that's where performance helps. Jumping around a little bit here, when you talk about athletes, right? What they've realized is, and so much of pro athletes, like their contract is dependent on how they perform. So what they're able, and they're doing it at such a high level, right? So what they've been able to do, I think, is tie themselves strictly to performance. And I think what you've seen at the highest levels of performance training, you know, I used to walk up to wide receivers in the locker room and they wanted to look good. You know, I mean, they wanted to move fast, but they also wanted to look good. I remember talking to Victor Cruz, and he would have like very involved ab workouts that were not necessarily filled with functional moves. It was a lot, you know, so it was the classics because he wanted to look good. But what we've seen now, that was Victor Cruz, was, it's crazy, like 8-10 years ago. Now, I think what you're seeing at the highest levels of performance, I think you see it most when you look at 100 meter dash runners. You remember back in, you know, the days of, I don't know how much you follow track and field, but, you know, the days of like Michael Johnson, Maurice Green, those guys were all ripped, right? They looked like bodybuilders. If you look at the guys who run in the 100 now, it's weird. The names are escaping me, which is really bad. You know, Michael Norman, he's not necessarily a 100 guy. He's like a 200 guy. There's a young kid, Arian Knighton. He's a 200 guy. But these guys are long and lanky, and they're training strictly for performance, mm-hmm. right? Because they're like, they want to manage their volume. They want to make sure that they're training strictly for performance. Doesn't matter how their core looks. Doesn't matter how their abs looks. I think what we're seeing is that the guys who train for performance now are willing to train strictly for performance. And not worry about anything else. And that's yielding a different body type, because the body type that performs best is not going to be, you know, you in a competition. It's going to be a lot closer to you now. It's not going to be me when I'm dialed in for a photo shoot. It's going to be a lot closer to what I am now. And I think it's because you need to kind of, it's better to kind of hybridize your training a little bit. And it's a lot easier on the body too, because it leaves a lot more room for recovery.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all that makes sense. And, you know, now that there's just the fitness industry is in a place that it's never been before, right? Yeah. Like, it's just never, no one has ever been as interested in the world of fitness and movement and nutrition like they are now ever before in history, I think. And so there's obviously a lot of science being applied. To give the performance-based athletes like a measure to understand. The one thing that I will say, and I think it's also, you know, an important mention, it's okay, like 99% of people that work out in any way, shape, or form all want to look good.
Yes.
And by the way, I think that's fucking awesome, right? And anybody who has any shame about that should just stop, right? And anybody who gives anybody shit about that should just stop, because there's nothing wrong with somebody who wants to put in hard work to actually look good. Because when you look good, the truth is you feel good, just like Deion Sanders said. You look good, you feel good, you feel good, you perform good, you perform good, they pay you good. You know, I mean, that's just the truth, right? And so I think, you know, but when I say mindfuck for me, it was like, when you take it to a level of like of actual competition,
yeah,
and you walk on stage at, you know, 3-4% body fat, you've never seen your body look like that before, or if you compete, you know, you have, but it's a place where you're like, holy mackerel, like I didn't even think this was possible. And then they spray you down with all sorts of stuff and you look like a legit superhero, and then you don't, because that kind of sustaining a standard like that is not impossible, but the life expectancy of someone who would do that for long periods of time is just low. It's scientifically low, right? Eating, you know, 1,000 calories a day and doing an hour and a half of cardio plus strength training. It just, it's not. So I just think it's, you know, it's hard coming off of a show for a bodybuilder, unless you're, you know, one of the mega bodybuilders and all you care about is doing that. But it's just really interesting, you know, me transitioning from that to now CrossFit and feeling just like okay with it and not stressing out.
This podcast is brought to you by, you guessed it, Creatures of Habit. Creatures of Habit is a lifestyle and wellness brand rooted in nutritional wellness and healthy habit making. We have recently made a few changes that I wanted to share with you. The Protagonist has taken on a new name and a very exciting new formula. It is now called Meal One. Yes, that's right, a much more appropriate name that tells you exactly what it is and when to have it. Additionally, we have made a few changes to the formula, removing organic maple sugar and stevia, only sweetening now with monk fruit. Meal One is a blend of gluten-free oats, 30 grams of plant-based protein, chia seeds, flax seeds, pumpkin seeds, pink Himalayan salt, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D3, a probiotic, and digestive enzymes. It's also gluten-free, non-GMO, vegan, and freaking delicious. Make Meal One a part of your life on a daily basis and watch how one nutritional win inspires winning for the rest of your day. Use promo code KOHPOD20. That's KOHPOD20, the number 20. When you head over to creaturesofhabit.com, that's creaturesofhabit.com with a K. Love you. Appreciate you. Back to the show.
I want to hear about what your morning routine looks like.
My morning routine. So at the it's my days are packed, right? So the morning winds up being really, really important for me. So I wake up at, it's slightly different on a couple of days because I'll train people virtually or I'll train somebody at home Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. So I'll give you that day because that's probably my more intense focus day. I have to wake up at 5:45 because I train them at 6. Take about 15 minutes. I make sure to have kind of – I have the same morning cocktail every single morning. And it's not really much of a cocktail. It's really just 1.5 scoops of protein to get me going. And I drink a bottle of water. And I always make sure to do that. And I've got 15 minutes to get myself in that mindset where I can train somebody else. So in a weird way, my morning routine kind of starts 6 hours before that, 7 hours before that, because that's when I've mapped out my workout and I've mapped out my entire day. I just sit in Notepad. I've kind of seen where I need my guy to be. So I'll rough out his workout around like 11:30, 11:45 at night. And then I'll also rough out my full schedule, go through every single thing I need to know for kind of for the next day. And then I feel like I can get my morning off with a running start. So then I wake up at 5:45. I have that shake. I go over kind of my entire schedule. I read it. And then I kind of, in a weird way, I think this has always been important because I think the way I own my schedule is I keep it up here, right? So I know where I'm going after this podcast, right? And I don't, you know, I can look at my Google Calendar because everybody has one and it keeps me accountable. But I want to like own it and kind of understand what I want to get out of each piece of my day, right? So after I've read it, then I read it again and I kind of think through it, almost try to memorize it. And it's like, okay, I'm going to train. He's actually a former Giant. He's a fullback from the 1990s, Charles Way. You know, I'm going to train Charles in the morning. This is what I want to accomplish during my workout, right? Then I know I have an hour and a half before I have to get to work. I'm going to do my cardio then. I usually try to do like 20 minutes of something. It's different every day, right? I try to mix up I think it's really important to stay cross-trained. So I'll, you know, one day I'll hit the rower. The next day I'll hit the skier. The next day I'll hit the manual treadmill. When it's nice out, I'll go in the backyard and I'll do kind of more agility stuff. But I always make sure to do something, and I'm trying to rotate that, you know, at least 6 days a week I'm doing that. Sometimes I'll try to rotate that between different apparatus and also different kinds of cardio, right? So I'll make sure to get a little bit of a slower kind of zone two long cardio day in. I'll make sure to get some interval work in, you know, and I'll make sure to get some very high speed, high velocity stuff in with larger rest periods. I'll make sure that those three pieces are always in there.
So you hit those three pieces every week. You'll make sure to hit at least one of those.
Yeah, I get at least one of those in the morning. It kind of covers my energy systems training, because then whatever I'm going to do in the afternoon, whatever block I'm in, you know, one, it makes me feel good because it ensures that I kind of got a little, sometimes the day goes nuts, right? I get my heavy lifting in because I don't have time in the morning. I'll get it in the evening, but sometimes I don't have it, right? So when I've started with that 20 minutes and I've hit an energy system, I at least kind of guarantee myself over the course of the day that I got in a little bit of activity and I did it in a coordinated fashion that's going to that as like a whole over the course of a week or a month of training, I've hit all my energy systems. So at the very least, I'm kind of keeping up, you know, with my, where my cardiovascular system needs to be and where my system needs to be so I can get the most out of it in the evenings when I'm dialed in.
So you'll do cardio 6 days a week for 20 minutes in the morning. It could be anything from just a nice pace on the rower. You can do intervals on the skier, intervals on the manual treadmill, a light pace on the treadmill, maybe out for a light jog. And then when it's nice out, you'll go hit some agility work for 20 minutes. But it always sticks to about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it always sticks to about 20 minutes. I try, because again, I have like another training session at the end of the day, mm-hmm. right? It's interesting, your show is called Creatures of Habit, and I'm pretty much, my entire life is just habits. I live the exact same day. I'm like, it's like Groundhog Day with dumbbells and kettlebells.
So take us through the rest of your morning until you sit down at the desk.
Yeah, I'll get done with that cardio workout. Then I'm training, I'm working from home that day. If I have to come into the city, my next step is I'm gonna take a shower, try to get in, I try to get in a little bit more food, right? That varies depending on what kind of training I have coming up. If it's going to be a little bit more, a more lower body intense day, or a little just a day with more high caloric expenditure, I'll have, you know, an oatmeal.
I got to get you some of the Creatures of Habit, dude. It's crazy that you don't have Mill One. I got to get a bunch sent to your house.
We're going to rectify that. That's why we're here. Yeah. You know, if I have like a shoot coming up, or if I'm trying to be, you know, if I'm going to have an arm day or I'm not going to have as intense a day, you know, I may just have like another shake, or I do a lot of salmon and I'm not nearly the chef you are. So, you know, it's literally just like salmon. I do trifecta meal prep. So it's literally just salmon, unpack it, throw it in the microwave, choke it down. Nice and simple. Then after that, by 8 o'clock, so that's really only, you know, I train Charles at 6. That usually goes until about 6:45. Then I get my cardio in, I take a shower. By that time, you know, I've got to kind of be wheels up and running. I like to, at Men's Health in general, we kind of work, you know, your standard 9 to 5. That's when everybody has to be available. But to me, it's really, really important. I try to start my work day by 8, right? And I think it's really, really important because I'm a relatively high profile piece for Men's Health. And it's really important for me to kind of like set an example. And when 9 o'clock hits, I don't want to be starting my work day and kind of getting in that mode, but I want to have thought ahead to the meetings that are going to come, have a plan. That way when 9 o'clock comes and people ask me questions, I don't need to think about them. I already have an answer, right? So I've kind of, you know, by like 8 o'clock, I'm kind of going through my emails, not necessarily replying, but filing away the ones that are things I don't really need to worry about, you know, and then filing away the ones where, okay, I need to have an answer for this. I need to be prepared for this. I kind of do that from about 8 until 8:30. 8:30, and again, this is probably overly regimented, but, you know, I try to stick to this stuff. By 8:30, and again, I got to get my Instagram stuff up too. So around 8:30, that's when I kind of do, I'll spend 15 minutes, and it's got to be 15 minutes. I actually find that fun because it means, obviously, I do, you know, I try to cut the videos and deliver a lot of service in there. And I try to do the voiceover, right? And sometimes getting that in 15 minutes and not going over that time is an interesting challenge because it means I have to know exactly, I have to kind of have it together, you know? I have to know what I'm saying. I have to plan it out, you know, and sometimes I mess up, right? And then I get frustrated, but I'm like, I want to get this in 15 minutes. I like the mental challenge of having to do that. So I spend 15 minutes on Instagram. That's all the Instagram I try, like in terms of building content, I try to limit it to that. You know, obviously I'm going to get better footage later, but I try to limit it to that at that point. And then by 8:45, I'm kind of, you know, replying to my emails and kind of ready to go. So,
you know, yeah. You and I are very similar in the time blocking. Mm-hmm. I think that it's something that people need to hear. Some people would call it robotic. Some people would call it too structured and rigid. And I believe it's freedom. When you can lay out your day, Creatures of Habit is launching a journal, and I have been journaling for a long time. My favorite part of my journal process every day, similar to you, where, you know, your Google Calendar, it's always there. Here's the problem with the Google Calendar. You pull out your phone to look at your Google Calendar, and then you get pulled in 9 different directions. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a text. Oh, shit, that email. Oh, wait, let me just go check that Instagram. You know, it's just I try to limit the amount of times I have to actually pull my phone out during the day. And so in journaling, I love writing out my day in 15-minute increments from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. Now, that doesn't mean that every 15 minutes of every single day is written out perfectly. That can mean I've got 3 hours in the middle of the day dedicated. This is a no-go zone for anyone. I do not take meetings. I do not do anything outside of the work that I need to get done, because what I learned was as an entrepreneur, business person, the two most important parts of my day are my morning routine that includes pieces of my family in there, of course, and then this 3-hour block of time I have during the day where I'm not in a meeting where I'm actually not getting anything done. Yeah. You know, I found myself caught in this cycle where it was just like meeting, 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 meeting. It'd be 4 o'clock and I felt completely inaccomplished, you know? And so that 3 hours, so, you know, we're dropping this journal and it's got this daily planner. And I believe, like you like to kind of memorize it, I write out my day every single day. It doesn't matter how, you know, how easy it is on my calendar. for me to be able to write out exactly what I'm doing every 15 minutes is like game changing. You know, it's game changing. So I think, you know, where you were like, oh, it's a kind of micromanage. I think, no, man, like you've got it. Like that's it. You know, people, the more disciplined you are, the more freedom you have to do what you want.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, even if you think about, and I don't know how much you get into how we arrive at this podcast, right? But this was supposed to be 12:30. It winds up at 1, what we started, like 1:15. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that we're both very, very regimented, we've kind of taken it pretty in stride, right? I feel like when you kind of control your schedule and go through whatever it is. Like for me, again, it's memorizing it. For you, it's kind of writing it down. When you do that, you hold a certain mastery over the schedule. You set it, right? So when life happens, when traffic happens, in my case, and I guess in your case too, when traffic happens, because you set it, and you've maintained it throughout the day.
It's a buffer.
Yeah, there's a buffer, and there's almost like there's a freedom to it, and there's a comfort level. Well, I have done this and this and this and this right. The last hour fell apart on me, but I have done everything right. So let me take that hour that fell apart, or you know, in a fitness case, let me take that meal I missed. Let me take that workout that I'm not going to have the full hour and a half that I might want, but I have an hour. Let me take that in stride and adjust because I've done everything else right. I couldn't beat this, but I'm very big into preparation. I do a lot of video content, obviously for men's health, but I'm not kind of like a natural person on video. I've worked myself to that point, but I've always thought that my advantage with video is because I'm not natural, I spend that much more time preparing, you know, writing out a script, knowing exactly where I want it to go, knowing exactly where I want to take a conversation. And that preparation kind of, you know, the times where things go wrong bails me out. And it, time and again, it's proven to bail me out. So I've kind of developed a confidence in it. And I think it's the same way with the schedule. When you take the time to master and prepare, because that's really what we're doing. We're preparing the schedule, whether it's on paper or in our head, right? When you take the time to prepare that schedule and know it inside and out, that's your preparation for the day. And whatever happens in the day, you also, like I also know it like the back of my hand. If I can't make my 2:30 because we're flowing here, you know, it's like, well, I know exactly what that 2:30 is. I know exactly how to move it around because I hold a mastery over my schedule that I took time from 11:45 the previous night and with my morning routine to get down.
I believe with every cell in my body that a routine stuck to consistently is the key to happiness.
Yes.
This podcast is brought to you by, you guessed it, Creatures of Habit. Creatures of Habit is a lifestyle and wellness brand rooted in nutritional wellness and healthy habit making. We have recently made a few changes that I need to share with you. The Protagonist has now taken on a new name and a very, very exciting new formula. It is now called Meal One. That's right. It is called Meal One, a much more appropriate name that tells you exactly what it is and when to use it. Additionally, we have made a few changes to the formula, removing the organic maple sugar and the stevia, now only sweetening with monk fruit. Thanks to all of your feedback. Meal One is a blend of gluten-free oats, 30 grams of plant-based protein, chia, flax, and pumpkin seeds, pink Himalayan salt, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D3, and probiotic and digestive enzymes. You can make it overnight, which we highly recommend with almond milk, or you can make it hot or throw it in the microwave. It's gluten-free, non-GMO, and vegan. It is absolutely delicious. Make Meal One a part of your life on a daily basis and watch how one nutritional win in the beginning of your day inspires winning for the rest of your day. Use promo code KOHPOD20, that's KOHPOD20, the number 20, when you head over to creaturesofhabit.com. That's creaturesofhabit.com with a K. Love you, appreciate you. Back to the show.
Do you have an evening routine that you like?
It's simple, but it's a lot of the little things. You know, my routine in the evening is, one, I try to end my work, and this doesn't always work out. Men's health is nuts in all the best ways possible, right? So this doesn't always work out. But what I try to do in the ideal world is end my work day at 6, right? And then my evening routine, because my nights from 6 to 11 in my mind, I'm kind of dedicating that to my fitness, which is nuts because it sounds like a 5-hour block, but I'm not doing 5-hour workouts, I promise. Sometimes. But so at 6, if everything works out, I've ended my day, right? I take like a half hour. I think it's important. The work day in a weird way is very unique stress, right? It's, you know, a lot of meetings, a lot of mental, right? And I need, in order for me to train the way I want to train, you know, push for the extra rep, hit my sets, you know, throw the extra 10 pounds on when I don't, you know, when I don't feel like benching that. I need to be mentally ready. So I used to, there was a point where I tried to go to work. I tried to get to my workouts at, you know, 6:30 and it just wasn't working. So I'll take a half hour to kind of decompress. And that's kind of that's like your 3-hour block. Like I'm kind of okay. Like sometimes I will literally just kind of stare at a blank screen. My wife's like, what is wrong with you? Right. It's not anything. It's just, I've had a long day. I want to kind of let myself process that day, relax a little bit and not be forced to do anything or think about anything for a moment, almost to, you know, we talk about down regulation for the body. I think that's my down regulation for my mind. Right. Take that half hour. Then I get into a little bit of how I'm going to start prepping for the workout, right? I have a workout. I usually have a skeleton workout written out, but I'll start to take stock of my body. How are my shoulders feeling? Do I really feel like I can go through an intense squat day today? I'll take stock of that. I'll look at kind of what I wrote down in terms of the skeleton and I'll revise it a little bit. And then I'll start to put kind of concrete, you know, again, the skeleton is always there. It's like, I know I want a power movement. I know I want to do 4 exercises. I know what the split is, but I'll start to move pieces around, you know, it's like based on kind of where my mental is. Mm. And I'll build like a final workout. Okay. This is what I'm doing tonight. It's all written out. And I think that's important because that helps me kind of stick to it. That's usually done by about 6:45. After I've built that, I've spent a lot of time thinking about my best workouts come when I visualize them, right? When I've seen myself doing 225 8 times and struggling for the 9th rep, right? So I'll actually, and when I've kind of hit those notes, you know, so as I kind of prepare my pre-lift meal, I will start to visualize my workout, and literally, you know, I'll start with whatever usually there's a movement in there that kind of scares you, you know, where it's like, oh, I got to lift something heavy. Whatever it is that I dread, I will kind of map out each set. I know the gym I'm going to. I kind of have an idea of who's going to spot me if I'm going to need a spot, right? I know kind of where I'm going to set up my camera, right? And I will go through that whole process, go through my thought process and try to see it. A lot of times it doesn't work out that way in the gym, but it's really, really important to me to kind of get that visualization. Then I'll think about the end of my workout, right? Because, you know, it's usually around an hour, 15 minutes, an hour and a half. One of the things I think is really easy for people to do, and I definitely have struggled with, is especially at the end of a long workday, you get to the end of the workout and you're mailing in your sets, right? Mm-hmm. It's not something I want to do. At the end of the workout, I'm a very big believer with everything, and this comes from a lot of stuff I learned on the bench press about myself. You know, it's like when you get to the end, right? That's when you want to be your best. That's when you want to lock in your technique the most. That's when you want to get the most out of it. And that endurance is key to my workout. So I'll think about the last exercise I'm going to do. And I kind of want to, a lot of times, 90% of my workouts, by the time I'm there, it's a little more volume, right? So it's a little bit lighter. It's a little more about my muscle connection. But I'll think about, you know, how am I going to approach this? How do I want to, you know, how do I want those reps to feel when I get to rep 12, 13, 14 on that exercise? How am I going to make those count, right? From there, I will head to the gym. And then I will literally just follow my list. It is, you know, it's detailed. It takes into account rest periods, et cetera. I'll follow my list and kind of go through my workout. You know, when I come back, it's usually around like, you know, 9:45, 10 o'clock. You know, you factor in commute and all that fun stuff. Then it's about eating my post-lift meal and getting recovery. I want some space between those two, between my training and my recovery, right? So it takes me about 25 minutes to get home from the gym. Then I eat my post-lift meal. Then I start to shift into recovery mode, both for my body and for my mind. So I usually try to do at least one kind of advanced recovery idea a night, and I consider advanced recovery anything that's tech, right? I need to play a little bit with tech. It's kind of like it's Legos for adults. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it may be Normatec boots. It may be, you know, a little bit of contrast, some kind of contrast concept. It may be, you know, stim. And then I'll do that. And then I'll finish the night. I had, I don't know if you saw, I had like an elbow surgery a couple of months back. And it was because I have some nerve issues in my hand. So I will go through at the end of the night. There's kind of like one more workout I have to do. And it's a whole bunch of rehab stuff, the most tedious stuff in the world. I kind of like it at the end of my night. One, because it is tedious and it feels mindless sometimes. But two, because it's like I can't sleep for a little bit because I'm coming down from this real workout, right? So the fact that I'm going to count out like 50, 100 reps of, you know, literally just moving my finger laterally.
Oh my gosh.
but the fact that I'm going to do that is kind of, it's the injured muscle guy's version of counting sheep. So it starts to get me a little bit fatigued, you know, and then to downregulate my mind, again, I'm open, you know, sometimes I'll watch a little bit of TV. It's a little overscripted, but it's useful, you know? I try to, you know, get in like, an hour of, you know, some mix of TV, staring into space again, you know, playing video games, whatever it is, talking to my wife, because, you know, it helps to spend a little time with your wife. And then it's 11. And then again, then I'm in a weird way, I'm starting for the next day, right? Starting to think ahead to how am I going to prep Charles's next workout? What do I have coming up the next day? It's weirdly intense and not. And I try to do that pretty much every single day.
You're like, out by like 11:30, 11:45.
11:45 midnight. Yeah.
11:45 midnight.
Yeah. It is. It's not necessarily enough. It's not a lot of sleep.
And so is that something that you're just comfortable with, or are you like, this is what it is and this is what it is?
It's a couple things. I think one, I'm really comfortable with it. So growing up, I went to school really far away. Right. And so my dad actually had, and I worked a lot, you know, my parents were, like my parents are first generation here. So it, you know, we didn't have a whole ton of stuff. So I was working from the time I was like 15, right? Mm. Because of that, you know, I would like close Burger King. I worked at fast food, which is a really good lesson in why I don't eat it. You know, I would close Burger King at like, you know, 10:30, 10:45, get home, and then I would try to get some training in. This was when I was like, you know, 12, you know, like a kid, right? But I would do that, and then I would have to be up at 5:45. So my natural rhythm, like if I just naturally wake up at 5:45. Yeah. And so I've just kind of stuck to that. Everything I've read and kind of studied says a couple things. It seems to say like whatever your natural rhythm is and whatever you can do regularly, it's better to stick to 12 to 5:45.
Consistency.
Yeah, consistency. And my body responds well to that. So I think if I was seeing that like I wasn't performing well. And again, that's where these wearables come in, where they kind of give us a little bit of an indication of our readiness. If I see that I'm not performing well, then I try to get a little more sleep. And I'll also, one of the beauties of the pandemic, right, is now we all work from home a lot more. And I feel like we're all kind of comfortable with sneaking in a little 12:45 to 1 p.m. nap. I will sneak those in to make sure I kind of get my rest. And that's another thing. In that kind of 6 o'clock window, right, where I'm staring into space. If I stare into space and I nod off, I'm kind of cool with that, you know? So I'll sneak in my sleep time when I can.
Is there a habit that you've broken? Obviously a negative habit that you've broken.
It's weird. I kind of like my habits. One thing I've definitely gotten out of, and this is less a habit and just something I'd always done, I guess, out of habit, but it wasn't a designed habit. It just kind of happened, right? I've always been very big into objective measurements that aren't my weight, right? You know, I don't necessarily care whether I'm 180 pounds or 175 or 190, partly because I'm not competing, right? But I have a tailor's tape in my room, and I would measure, you know, I would measure my waist, I would measure my arms, I would measure my hips, and I always kind of knew those things, right? And I would do that at least twice a week. I feel like I've gone away from that over like the last two or three years, in part because I feel kind of comfortable where I am, right? I think the other thing is my diet is incredibly regimented, right? I'm you know, one of those every 2.5 hours guys. I know exactly what the next meal is. The next meal is the same all the time. My wife is sick of my salmon and rice. It's always the same thing. I had this surgery in September, bounced back from, worked hard to bounce back from that. Then I got sick in October. This is why you don't eat pizza. I was in Jersey with a friend. I had pizza. I came home like 2 hours later. I'm like, why is the world so cold? And I'm getting these cold sweats. It's called food poisoning. Oh, yeah, but for about a week, I couldn't keep any food down, right? Which was hard. That hasn't happened to me. I've been sick before, but I always kind of, okay, I know my intervals. I know how much water I'm going to intake. And I stick to it, right? I'm the guy who's in meetings and it's like, oops, it's time to eat. Let me break out my Tupperware. That's me in Men's Health. But for about 2 weeks, for about 10 days rather, I couldn't eat according to that regimen. And then we went for my wife's anniversary down to Florida. And I got away a little bit from being so hard on myself with my diet. And this is very recent for me, but I think what I understand is that I can give myself a little bit of grace and still get the results I want and still kind of be regimented, but at the same time, I'm giving myself a lot more freedom. I know I need to, you know, for 2 weeks, I couldn't eat anything, right? I couldn't keep anything down. Coming off of that, I think I've given myself, you know, it's like, I need to eat, right? It's okay if that diet is, you know, has a couple more Oreos in it than I would normally permit. I think I'm at that point where I can give myself a little more grace. And I think that's important. It's important to have the regimen and then know when to break it. I think it's the art of knowing how to break it without completely falling off the tracks.
I mean, that's the dream, right?
Yeah.
Like the dream is having the ability to ride the horse if you want to hop off and jump on the donkey. It's okay, right? Because you know how to ride the horse. Dude, this is awesome, man. You know, I you and I are so similar in our just thought process and how to really control our destiny. The way I see it from, I wake up at 4:45, you wake up at 5. So, you know, between early in the morning and around 8:30, we're in complete control, complete. And you take care of the things that are going to ultimately make you feel good, confident, accomplished in that time, because you can absolutely control it. From 8:30 till around 6 o'clock for you, similar to me, 8:30 to 6, not I'm out of control, but there's other people involved. There's, you know, weather and traffic and life, right? And so you have that ability to say, okay, I know I have this under control. I've got this under control. And if I have this and this under control, my ability to flow confidently in this area, which is not completely in my control, and that's okay, is just far greater. Like I bookend the day with owning my life. And then I've got this like big chunk of time that I've got to be able to move freely and not react. And because I've had these moments consistently for years, morning and night, I am able to respond. I don't have to like, you know, somebody walks in my direction, I'm not like thinking about laying them out. I'm like, oh no, this person is just looking down at their phone. It's okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's all right. I don't need to control that too. So, you know, it's just nice to know that like there are other people in existence that that also really do pay very close attention to these habits, because at the end of the day, we're given one 24-hour block of time to win. And I'm not saying that winning is everything, but we're given one 24-hour block of time to do. Right? You don't do yesterday because yesterday is done. And you don't do tomorrow because it's impossible. So if you can do your absolute best in the moment, life will be good. It just will. If you allow it to control you, you push snooze, you grab this instead of that, you know, take an Uber instead of walk the fucking 15 blocks, you know? Like yeah. Those decisions, you know, compiled, ultimately lead to unhappiness. And that's what this podcast is all about. Dude, it was so good to have you on the show.
Yeah, no, it was awesome to be here and find like find somebody else who understands about controlling that morning and the night. Yeah,
It's crucial. Where can we find you and follow along?
Easiest is my Instagram. So at Ebenezer Samuel 23. And then another place that we're really developing for men's health is our YouTube channel, Men's Health Muscle. Obviously menshealth.com as well, but our YouTube channel, Men's Health Muscle, has a ton of stuff, just instructional on the gym, on fitness, on overrated, underrated lifts. We have a lot of content there. So I'd love for people to check that out.
Sweet. My man. Guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Creatures of Habit podcast. Ebs is the man. Definitely follow him. I've learned so much from this guy. I didn't even say that on the show, but anytime I want to find out something about a specific movement or if I'm looking to create a program, I really do tune in to a lot of his stuff. He's so, so tactical with his content. I appreciate you tuning in. Till the next one. Peace.
And there you have it, folks. I hope we delivered some valuable content for you to implement into your life on a daily basis. Please remember that our habits have the power to make us or break us. Replacing bad habits with great ones is the answer to living a life of happiness, optimism, and high performance. We are capable of achieving anything. We all have what it takes to give it all we've got. Commit to one great habit each day and truly commit and watch how everything in your life starts evolving from good to great. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review that will help us grow this podcast, bring on more amazing guests, and continue to deliver invaluable content on a weekly basis. Lastly, please share this podcast with any friends or family that you think might appreciate it. And always remember, want plus do equals have. Until the next one, fam. Peace.